envision three female attorneys coming together to have our voices heard. Each of us would have different opinions, different passions, different backgrounds, and different views. Although we are different and unique, we are able to come together to discuss our experiences, navigating through the legal profession and this thing called life. Now, the vision has come alive, and we invite you each and every week to listen to us as we talk about what's trending in the news and our legal insight. Tackle real life issues that affect not only us as attorneys, but us as women of color. Disclaimer. This podcast is intended to provide entertainment and general information. The information provided and the views given are not intended to constitute legal advice and should not be relied upon as legal representation. All views expressed on this podcast are our own and do not represent the opinions of any entity whatsoever we are affiliated with now or will be affiliated with in the future. Welcome to our No Further Questions. It's your girl, Brandy, and to my left, we have our co-host, Taria.
Hey, guys. I'm not really technically to her left this time, so that's the reason I was confused.
And then to my right, you know we got Crazy Sam.
Yes, this is Sam Frazier. I don't know about the crazy part, guys.
Welcome back. So today we're going to be talking about on our docket, we have deciphering African and African American culture. But we brought in some very special guests, some friends of ours to the show, and I want them to introduce themselves, starting from the far left. Mr. Moby.
Sure. Hello, guys. My name is Chimobi Nwankwo. Most people call me Moby. I was born in Nigeria, grew up there for about 9 years, lived in the Philippines for 5 years, and then moved to Houston. And I've been an attorney for the last 5 years, mainly prosecutor.
Boo.
It's Rhea Hayden today.
Okay.
And then we have another good friend of ours, Francis, a friend of the show.
How y'all doing, everybody? My name is Francis Adesino. I'm born and raised in Houston, Texas. I am Nigerian. I'm an attorney. I work for a very prominent oil and gas refiner, and I've been a lawyer for about 5 years.
He's single too, ladies.
He got money.
And also to my right, we have the Miss Lovely Abby.
Hey, everybody. Yes, I'm Abby Katoon. I was born and raised in the United States, not Houston, but I got here as soon as I could. I am a lawyer. Started out as an engineer. Now I'm a lawyer. I've been a lawyer for about the same time as you guys. And I do labor and employment law, representing employers against their employees, because everybody needs a lawyer.
That's the way to say it.
Abby, what part of the U.S. are you from?
I say I'm from Houston, but I was born in Rhode Island.
Okay. Oh. She a transplant.
Really?
Rhode 10 Island. Days after being born, I came here. I don't think that's
okay,
a transplant.
Okay, Texas has jurisdiction.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
Texas is a home state.
Right. Jurisdiction for Texas for the win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's get right to it on our docket call. So first, you know we've always had the issues. Everybody's seen it growing up, you know, Africans versus African Americans. And it's always been type of stereotypes, myths, you know, saying that Africans don't like African Americans and vice versa. Our cultures are different and things like that. So let's start talking about it and see, like, why do people have these myths? Why are the stereotypes out there, and see if we can come to a common ground to figure out like how to make it better. So basically, in your own opinion, what is the African culture? Like, what is your African culture? Anybody can go.
Okay, I'll go ahead and get started. First of all, whenever you say African culture, you got to remember Africa is a continent. It's not a country. I feel like every other racial group, cultural group, they can say I'm Chinese, I'm Italian, but Africans, you have a continent full of 52 countries and we're all conglomerated into one. So that's one. So there's people need to understand that African culture is very diverse. What I can speak for is Nigerian culture. Obviously we have a very rich culture. I believe it's about 100,000 of us here in Houston alone, if I'm not mistaken. We're just a very distinct culture and a very distinct part of the black population in the U.S.
That's dope. I like that. Yeah. All right, Francis. He came hard.
He was prepared.
Yes. Put me in my place.
Practicing. He's been waiting for this moment.
So, Abby or Moby, y'all want to chime in and expound or, you know?
You know, I think that many Nigerians and other Africans came here. You know, some of us were born here. Many came here. And so I think that's where it started. Like I have a lot of friends who came and they started in elementary school or in high school, and they had an accent. And so they're different because of their accent. And anyone who's different, you don't really know them. And so you kind of think that they must be bad, maybe, you know, because I know I was in elementary school and I was born and raised here, so I don't really have a Nigerian accent, but I was still called an African booty scratcher because when the role was called, they could tell that my name was different, and so they thought I was different. And so it's just, you know, whenever there are differences, we always question that, and I think that's where it started. And it's the same for, you know, Africans that have come here. You go to school and the other people in the class, they're black like you, but they're different. And so you kind of question the people that are different. But I wish that when we questioned the differences, we explored further and we embraced each other, because here in the U.S. and here in Houston, we're not the majority. And so we really have a lot in common in being black.
But to follow up on that, do you think that as you grow older, like I know you talked about in elementary school, kind of being ostracized for those differences, but as you grow older and in the workplace, do you think that as a Nigerian American, you want to distinguish yourself from African Americans at some point and in some arenas?
I couldn't say yes and still live that down, but I don't. And that's because I grew up in black neighborhoods, and I know lots of people that are awesome people. And I listened in black history class, and I know that the struggles that, you know, that people went through for us, because we can't actually be here as Africans and Nigerians if we didn't have Martin Luther King Jr., if we didn't have all the people that made it so that we could, you know, progress from there. So, no, I wouldn't say that as I get older or get more professional that I try to distance myself. But I can say that because Nigerians are among the most educated, they always say, oh, you're black, but you're Nigerian, so you're not like the rest of them. Mm-hmm. You know, they try to put it on us that we're smart and all that because we're Nigerian and we're not like the other black people. So I don't even like that. Mm-hmm. I try to correct it when I hear it.
Anyone else?
Moby.
And what was the question again?
I was saying
the original question was about what do you think African culture is?
Yes.
Correct.
Well, thank you.
But I followed up on that, and because it's been my experience, okay, especially in college, is that it was a distinction between African American and African. Like, we had ASA, African Student Association, mm-hmm. and we had the Black Student Association. And we did have a forum during that time. And one of the things that one of the Nigerian students said is that my ancestors weren't enslaved. Mm-hmm. So we aren't the same. We don't come from the same ancestry. We don't have the same heritage. So going from when Abby was saying that when she was younger and she was kind of ostracized for that, it's been my experience that some Nigerians welcome that distinction when they get older in college and graduate school, is that, like, I am not an African American. I'm Nigerian American, and it's a difference.
Well, my background and my experience, I've been growing up, I've had the opportunity to live in two different cultures. Well, the Nigerian culture, as well as the African American culture. I've also had the experience of being both a member of the Black Students Association mm-hmm. in undergrad, as well as the Nigerian Students Association in undergrad. I think that, you know, the idea that these two organizations or cultures are different and should be put aside is completely false. I think both cultures, both organizations have similar either issues or similar agendas. The fact that even though I was born Nigerian, but also grew up in the United States, I'm able to identify both as a Nigerian and also as a Nigerian American or African American. I think both cultures or both of my experiences, they are two individual, two similar ideas that we can learn from each other.
So, I just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry, because I was intrigued. Because I was over here thinking about, like, but when we differentiate, though, between the cultures, like, when we are, like, so, okay, you have your African culture and you have your African American culture, like, but is it important to differentiate, or do we need to try to come together and like bring it, you know, tied in? Because like you said, we've had our struggles, we've had our issues, you know, we've had our ancestors, quote unquote, were enslaved. But like, you know, should we try to just like come together and have that, like, basically just cut the divide,
like, right, like we all black, let's right, just all
so my
come
question
together
would be, before they answer,
yeah,
the Black American, come here real quick. There's certain things we can come together about, but there's others that we cannot, right? So I am not Nigerian, so how am I going to come and say Nigerian culture? I don't know their culture. Versus, and the same with us, if your ancestors were enslaved, it's some of that you don't really have to go off of, right? Mine is only two generations back. My great-grandmother was on a plantation, and then from there they were sharecroppers. Some of our Nigerian friends don't have that, and they don't know what that culture looks like. So part of it, I think, needs to be differentiated because of those differences that are there, and we can help each other just to learn about it. But this is something that is our own, and just like the Nigerian wealth and richness of the culture is your own, and we won't ever really fully be able to fully understand and grasp that, because that's not our culture.
So then can we appreciate it though? Like, can y'all appreciate the fact that, you know, we didn't ask for our ancestors to be enslaved? So then, like you said, when a person is throwing that up in your face, it's like, well, that ain't our ancestors' fault.
Well, I mean, we were sold into slavery by Africans. So I'm just saying, it's not like we saw a boat was like, oh, a cruise ship, let's get on and go to America.
Yeah. I mean, I know that. I do know.
Well, here's
that.
Something I want to say. One thing people need to understand, and Abby and Moby can attest to it, even within, let's just say, Nigeria, we have ethnic differences amongst ourselves, different tribes, different things like that. So for us, we can't even unite as African people, let alone unite with an African-American community, which we should. I do think that at the end of the day, we are black. And at the end of the day, I feel like, you know, people who are not black view us all the same. But that's something that needs to be heard as well. Like, we don't have unity amongst ourselves. Mm-hmm. Let alone with our, you know, brethren who are enslaved. Mm-hmm. So
I have a question when it comes to relationships and like the traditional for the culture. Ooh. Are you only obligated to date within your culture, like in the Nigerian community, or can you go outside and say like date or marry an African American woman?
I don't think you're obligated.
What can you do, Moby?
Tell us.
Single people in the room.
Well, I don't think you're obligated. I know my experience, my mom and my grandma wanted me to be with a Nigerian. My dad, on the other hand, was more about the religious aspect, you know. And I have friends, and I've talked to them, and from what they're telling me, their parents or relatives want them to be with a Nigerian. And like Francis alluded to it, within Nigeria, different ethnic groups, right? So within those ethnic groups, you know, there might be the Igbos have to marry with Igbos, Yorubas with Yorubas. I mean, you can maybe Igbo marry Yoruba, but traditionally, from my understanding, Igbos marry Igbo, Yoruba marry Igbo, Awasas marry Igbo. But my own situation, I know my mom and my grandma was, you know, married Nigerian. My dad, on the other hand, was more about the religious aspect of it. Make sure that whoever you marry is someone that you guys are not unequally yoked. Mm-hmm. So he came with that broad advice.
I can understand the equally yoked part. Definitely that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think we have to remember that everybody's different. So I think it depends is the lawyer answer. And so I've noticed, and you might correct me, but I think it's more the Igbos within the Nigerian culture who really want their kids to marry other Igbos. But I think the Yoruba people are, for the most part, more loose about it. But it depends, because, you know, there's Black history here. There's there's Nigerian history. We had the Biafra War. There's reasons that some of these tribes don't like each other.
Oh, wow.
And there are reasons that they don't want to intermingle. There's reasons that they distrust each other. And, you know, while I'm doing the history bit, I have people in my family who are Nigerians who have the last name Gomez because they came back on ships from South America. So when people say, oh, my ancestors weren't enslaved, do they really know? Right. Because some came back and there's a lot of cross migration. So I don't think that anyone should hang their hat on, you know, not being a descendant of slaves because it's not anyone's choice and you don't really know, you know. But right. I think it depends as far as like crossing. And by the way, maybe I shouldn't even say this, but a lot of Nigerians have married African-American women and it's not always for love.
Can I say this though? What I've noticed just in observation, I have noticed that I have a lot of female friends who are African or Nigerian, and they're more open to dating non-Nigerian men than my friends who are Nigerian men who are a little bit, they're open to dating, quote unquote, but when we're talking about like marriage, they would prefer to marry a Nigerian woman. So do you think that there is a distinction in your culture between women and how they approach marriage and Nigerian men, how they approach marriage?
I actually think it's the other way around.
Really?
Because like, oh yeah, because like growing up, you know, I know tons of Nigerian guys who date women outside the culture, whether it's tribe or nationality or just African-American, whereas like most of the women tend to just be focused. Like the analogy I like to use, like you see how a lot of Black women say they only want to be with a Black man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then a Black man dates people outside of the race. That's how it is for Africans as well. African men date everybody, and then African women just date African men. At least that's just in my experience.
Yeah, really?
I think you're right. And just like we're being told as Black women that we need to try to think outside the box, the same thing goes for Nigerian women. Think outside the box, because...
Is that what you're saying, Abby? That's your message? Think outside the box, ladies.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not currently dating someone that's outside of the box, but I was thinking about it because, you know, I mean, it's a numbers game. And, right. Yeah, the numbers aren't in our favor.
Right. Yeah, I mean... Look at Serena Williams, girl. Yes. Go be free. Mm-hmm. Eve, hello.
Especially Eve. Mm-hmm. That's another topic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Y'all make me lose my train of thought. Talking about billionaires. Well,
so I have a question, though. Why do y'all think the Nigerian man doesn't want a Nigerian woman?
Why does a Black man not want a Black woman?
No. Nigerian. I'm talking about y'all's culture.
No, I'm saying it's the analogy is very similar.
Oh, sometimes I get it. Okay.
It's like, oh, I don't like Nigerian girls. Like there's a lot of guys who I know who say I don't like Nigerian girls, but you're Nigerian, your mom's Nigerian. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of that. It's like the exact same thing that
you
would
say
experience.
That's self-hate?
I guess so, or maybe just curiosity. Which to me, I feel like to each his own. You should like whatever you like, but I have seen a lot of Nigerian guys, or let's just say African guys, who don't want to be with an African woman, even though they themselves are African, which I don't really understand.
I wouldn't downplay, though, the conservatism of African women and how a lot of African men don't want that conservatism. They want a freaking bed just like anyone else, and they think that Nigerian women aren't that way. They also probably saw their mothers... and the role that they played, and don't want that from a Nigerian woman. And so they think, like, maybe if their mom was very combative with their dad, they're like, no, I want to be the king of my castle. And they think that they can get that maybe from a African American woman, and they can't from a Nigerian woman. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've thought a lot about it, though.
I don't think they're getting that from African American women. They may be going a little further down the spectrum. A little bit,
because we still hair strong.
Yeah. A few more shades up.
I see that. Because we still hair strong.
Because, I mean, if you're talking about African American women and you talk about the cultural differences, one thing that I can say is, and this isn't for everybody because I think everybody in here grew up in two-parent households. However, the dynamic with a lot of African-American households is that you may not have a two-parent household versus in Nigerian culture, typically you do to a certain extent. So with that, African-American women, we're used to running the households. You're not going to tell us to have your dinner ready at this time. Okay.
I think we share that.
We may have it, we may not. I mean,
depending on how you make me feel. Correct. I'm just saying. So, but okay, so I understand like with the relationships, y'all have the choice. But like, do you feel at times like your parents pressure you? Like, especially now in dating in 2019, like you said, it's some pickings. But do like, you know, like you said, it's a numbers game. But do you still feel like, even in the Black culture, you know, if you were to think outside the box, i.e. whether it's, you know, nationality, race, or whatever, would your parent feel comfortable with you with a non, like, Nigerian woman?
I definitely think it's pressure. I mean, it's still there, and I think a lot of people, because I do know people who do date outside the culture, and when I say culture, I don't necessarily just mean race. I mean just outside like Nigerian culture, mm-hmm. It is still there. And I definitely think there's going to be some obstacles that you're going to have to face on both sides, people's opinions, things like that. So the pressure definitely is there.
Yeah. Have any of you ever dated outside of your culture?
No.
Yes.
How'd that work out for you, Moby?
Moby said he's single, so it couldn't have worked out.
You right. So I might have to ask Abby.
Ooh,
I'm
answer
not,
the question, Moby.
Yeah.
I'm not single. I'm off the table.
Oh. Well, oh, no, that was Francis that was single.
Yeah, that was Francis.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm no, sorry. Shout out to Moby's.
Follow-up question.
But I have dated outside my culture. In undergrad, I dated a young lady. She was from Pakistan. And then in law school, I dated an African-American woman. You guys know her. But I have dated outside my culture.
Okay. Who did you date in law school?
You know. Are we shouting out people today?
No.
Let's not.
No.
Yeah, let's not do it. We're not shouting. Yeah. Abby
she was very nice, though. She was very nice.
Okay. Abby?
Yeah, I have. Not for that long, but I've dated someone from Liberia. I've gone on a date with a white person before.
A couple dates.
Oh,
okay.
But yeah, I'm currently with a Nigerian person.
Call him back up, girl. Serena Williams.
Uh-huh. Have you, Francis?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
So you've only dated Nigerians?
Mm-hmm. Have you only dated Yoruba?
Mm-hmm. For the most part, yeah.
Is that parental?
A little bit of both. I mean, it's good to be with someone who you can understand them. They kind of understand you, things like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I haven't.
You won't give us a chance.
I was about to say, that brings up another question. So you don't understand African-American women? You don't
understand. I mean, I'm born and raised in Houston.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm. No.
You said somebody that can understand you. So you
more
don't think
someone
African-
who can understand me, rather.
So an African-American woman cannot understand you?
Not that you can't, but I feel like it's different. Like, I mean, I don't know if the conversation is going to go here, but like growing up, like in school, so like I would go to like my African-American friends' houses completely different. So like I would go there. Like, obviously, my parents speak English fluently, but when they speak to each other, they don't speak English. So I remember I would go to their house, and I'll hear their mom and dad speaking English. Like, that was the weirdest thing to me. And we're in Houston, Texas. Foods. Or if I bring them to my house, they'd be looking around like this. They'd look at our pictures, whatever we're eating, just things like that. And I felt like growing up, it was a very weird thing. Like, I'm Black, but am I really Black? Because to me, the definition of Black was African-American, and we didn't fit that. So it's like, even though we look like everybody, but it was different.
So you felt outcast.
I felt like an outcast.
Yeah. In the Black American community.
In the Black American community. And things would just come up, you know, someone would not know that I'm Nigerian. Because if you don't know that I'm Nigerian, like if I don't tell you, you're not going to know. All of a sudden, someone will say like a derogatory comment towards like an African person, not knowing that I'm Nigerian, you know? Like, that happened a lot. So that's what I'm talking about.
Really? Because I get called Nigerian. Like, I've had a man follow me down the street. It was like, are you Nigerian? I was like, no, I'm not. And he's like, are you sure? Oh, and I'm like, both of my parents are African American. I think that you have some Nigerian.
Yeah, like, you look it. Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
He was hitting on you.
Yeah, I could see it. Okay. And like another thing too, I remember one time I said that to an African American person, because if you're black, obviously you come from the Western Coast if you were taken during slavery. And I remember she got offended that I asked if she was African, as if that was like an insult. And I was like, I'm Nigerian. How, you know what I mean?
I mean, I said I was an insult. I wouldn't take it that way.
No, I know this person.
Oh, okay, that person took it as an insult.
But I did take it as an insult, more so because I felt like, because I've had more than one person ask me that, and because I'm a lawyer, and because I'm quote unquote successful. Now you assume that I have to be Nigerian, and it's like, well, that's a slap in the face to African Americans, because there are a lot of successful African Americans. I mean, Nigerians are successful as well, but everybody in Houston who is successful doesn't have to be Nigerian just because they're black.
So is that something that a stereotype that was developed over time, do y'all think? Like, because it's always been known, if you're Nigerian, you're successful and you're better than the black person. Financially, like education,
you know. It's not always been known.
It's not, especially not now. No. I mean, our parents' generation, it was like that. But now you can see some of the trashiest people be Nigerian as well as an African American. You can't say that, oh, because you're African, you're on top. I think it used to be that way, but it's not like that anymore.
I mean, you say that it used to be that way, but...
Or that it used to be the stereotype, rather.
It hasn't been that long since we were known for 419.
Exactly,
or
and
fraud.
We still are.
Yeah, and so it's not always been, oh, they're the most... educated. That's recently been proven, but it hasn't always been that way. And we've been struggling and trying really hard and deliberately to show that we are not fraudsters and that we have good parts about us. So I don't think we've always had it easy as Nigerians.
Well, then how do you feel about that? Because it is now, like you did say. So it goes from, like you said, your parents' generation where educated, successful, and then, you know, during that time people knew that. Now to, oh, all Nigerians are frauds. They're going to steal your money, your identity. Like, so how do you combat
look
that?
Why is it, or how do I combat it?
Both.
Why is it? Because I feel like my parents' generation, so like most Nigerians, we came like early, or maybe late 70s, maybe mid to late 70s. That's when most of our parents came. They didn't have time to play games. Like, if you are in a new land, you don't know anybody, you don't understand the culture, you gotta work to hustle. Mm-hmm. Where some, like, the newer Africans that are coming, it's a little bit easier on them. And I feel like that's why we're not always, you know, go-getters now. And how to combat that, I feel like it is what it is. I mean, you can take it as a compliment. I try to take it as a compliment, but it's a burden because, like, when I was an undergrad, I wanted to be a journalist first. I wanted to do radio, I wanted to do TV, and everybody was like, you can't do that, you're Nigerian. Nigerian people don't do that. You can't do like an artistic career. So then when I said I wanted to be a lawyer, okay, you're fine. Like, I was like part of like the club again, you know, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Whereas if I was African American, I don't think people would have said that to me. Like, if you want to do that, you do it.
So I have a fun fact about you, if you don't mind me bringing up real quick regarding that. So
I'm a little worried. So
I know.
I'm a little worried.
Because he did say that, because, you know, you were saying that, you know, by being a lawyer, it fits within the culture. So you remember that time when you did acting?
Yeah.
He was an actor.
Yeah.
Is he done being an actor?
Yeah. I'm not still doing it on the side.
Oh,
now.
Oh, really?
But like, if I tell you, okay, no. You see, I'm a lawyer.
Yeah.
If I told you I'm an actor, I would still get the same. It's changing now, because now you see people, you know, David Oyelowo, all these different, all these new Africans that are coming up, but it's still the stench. Like, if you're not a doctor, lawyer, engineer, you're nothing.
Yeah.
In our culture, like, you're nothing.
Yeah.
Basically.
Which I find kind of ironic, because me and my friends who are Nigerian, we talk about that, right? So it was like when they went to college, their parents told them, like, look, these are the selections. Pharmacist, pre-med, lawyer, engineer.
Yeah.
You got four. Pick them. Versus when we came in, or at least when I went to school, I got to pick what I wanted to be. Whatever it was, I could decide. But my mom's only requirement, prerequisite, was I have to explain what I'm going to do with that career. You need to show me
yeah.
the money.
Yeah, like, yeah. don't try to do interpretive dance because where are the interpretive dancers?
Yeah.
Well, and I was going to say that I understand it's a stereotype, but not all black people and African Americans are just saying you can go be free and twirl a baton.
Right.
Because I know my parents gave me the same four, right? I had four choices. That's what you're going to do. You're going to school. And so we're not Nigerian. We're just African American people from
right.
Texas. And there's a lot of us that sit here and have the same things. And it does go back. I believe it goes back to enslavement from the sharecropping and all that stuff. Because my dad was like, listen, my people worked hard with their hands. You know, that's how we made our living. We built this land. We have our land here. And now it's time for us to now use our, we're as good as everybody else. We done built everything up. We have property now. Mm-hmm. Get in there and show them that you're as good as the next person sitting next yeah. to you. So call it a chip, call it or whatever you want to. But there is a segment of African Americans, I'm going to talk for them for a second, that feel the same way as the Nigerian culture, that my child is not just going to be the statistics that are out there for the black culture that's there, you know?
Well, I think that, I think you're right. But I'm saying it's a difference from how they target your idea, like your frame. Like, I'm literally, when I talk to some of my Nigerian friends, those were the choices. Like, it wasn't like, hey, you need to go work hard for our family and make us proud and be successful. It's like, no, doctor, lawyer, engineer, or pharmacist, four, pick. Like, that's it. We don't want to hear about any other professions.
But we also have to, like, look and talk about the reason why our parents, Nigerian parents, wanted us or gave us those choices, right?
Yeah.
Again, where did it come from? There's not free education in Nigeria, right? And they came from a situation where they had to pay for university if they went to university. So they come here and we have all these opportunities. And you have all these professions, doctor, lawyers, pharmacists, dentists, whatnot, that are paid good money. And as Nigerians, even though, you know, we marry, we have a family, we have extended family. Mm-hmm. We have family back home. So I think when our parents are giving us these options, we have to understand and think about why they give us, you know, this options, why they want us to become either doctors or go in the medical field or you know, legal field or be an engineer. Why would our parents want us to go, you know, choose this different professions?
Yeah. I have to say, though, we always talk about how, you know, educated Nigerians are. We have average people, too. Many of them right here in this city. And it's funny, a lot of people, you know, encounter a Nigerian and they just think that the whole country is like that. It's not the case. We have average people, too. So, you know how they say, we'll know we've made it. We'll know we've, you know, passed over a little bit of racism or whatever when we can have a mediocre black person and they can exist.
Yes.
We need to make some room for mediocre Nigerians as well.
No, because see, the difference is y'all leave them there. Y'all leave them back in Nigeria.
Nah, they right here.
No, it's here.
No offense to the mediocre.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them here.
I mean, we can't take them. We don't have nowhere to take our mediocre.
Maybe y'all mediocre and like, our mediocre is like different. Like, I think to be mediocre in Nigeria, be like, she's a school teacher. I mean, really. Like, she might as well be homeless. Like, I think it's a difference. Like, our mediocre is like, Ray Ray just got out of jail. Like, let's just let's give him a leg
well,
up.
Well, okay, it's kind of like what we were saying before. Not all Nigerians are the same. Not all African Americans are the
Thank
same.
Thank you, Francis.
And we all need to, we all need to like
right
recognize that these stereotypes are not exclusive, basically.
Yeah, right.
Because I know tons of like African Americans. I guess you would call them boule. I guess that's the word. Or Jack and Jill. I don't know what it's called, but it's like these like highly, highly accomplished black people who've been rich for like generations.
Brown paper bag test.
And that's, and a lot of Africans don't see those African Americans. Whenever they have the stereotype of an African American person, they don't consider those people, like, but they exist.
Because they're not, you know, black culture is what's seen on TV, you know,
Basketball Wives
and Love and Hip Hop.
That is,
and
I rebuke that in the mighty name of Jesus.
National Geographic.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I remember being in school, like open up history books, and they will show the worst images of Africa. And they're like, "Yeah, this is your people, right?"
But you know what though? Y'all came back with Coming to America. Coming to America brought y'all back.
A fictional country. Exactly. Just like Black Panther like is in a fictional Wakanda. Country as well.
No, it's not. Wakanda is real.
And okay. Coming to America, don't do that. Because I was like,
wait,
wow.
Wakanda is real where? In Africa or?
Just
in our minds, basically.
Perception is
just
reality.
Like how they show Black people as like being thugs. They show us as being naked, poor. Like, I remember one question I got is, oh, do y'all wear clothes?
Oh,
do you
God.
This, do you that? Like, this is like 1999,
lines,
right? 2000.
Well, Lion King. Hey, Lion King remake.
You know what I mean?
All
so,
animals, though.
So, yeah, I mean, I the stereotypes, that. Like you were just saying. Like
the one know. Thing that I really have beef with y'all about, okay? Stop criticizing the accents in Coming to America and in Black Panther. Stop criticizing it, okay? Those are good, classic Black films.
Because, okay, it's because y'all don't know anything.
I don't want to hear it.
Like, when I saw Concussion, that is a real Nigerian person that they playing. He sounded like Nelson Mandela. Like, seriously, a South African accent and Nigerian accent are very different.
Different.
Yeah. And when we hear it, we're just like, nah. Like, seriously. I mean, you, am I correct?
You're right.
Yes.
I'm correct, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of like Beyonce's new album.
Hold on, Abby.
Which I love.
Hold on, that's Afrobeat. She came up with an Afrobeat.
Yes. You have a beehiver next to you. Friend.
I love the new
album.
So
just be careful.
But okay. I'm from West Africa, and I'm very well represented. But Lion King is East, and it's not represented
Zeke,
at all.
Cut her mic.
I'm just saying.
She's stating facts, though.
Yeah.
That's just facts.
And I still love it.
But the
she
thing...
She said she loved Beyonce.
Wait.
There she goes.
Beyonce was giving us an introduction just to Afrobeats, period. Because
it's
I
never
will
been
say
there
this,
before, Sam.
I saw it on Twitter. What I'm saying is that, like, they're now playing, like, her songs in the mall, like, at stores.
Mainstream.
And they don't even know that these are like African artists that are in there, whether it's West African or East African. It's like, look, y'all listening to African music, period. You know, because I will be honest, until a couple years ago, I didn't even know that there were Nigerian films. And they're good too. Mm-hmm. Like, they get all in the dirt. But I didn't know that. I mean, you hear about Bollywood, right? But you don't really hear about Nigerian films unless you have a Nigerian friend who could, like, introduce you to that world. So I think that what Beyonce did was amazing.
Here we go.
Me too.
Right.
Here we go.
Don't just fix
me too.
It.
Disclaimer.
Fix it. You better fix it.
Right.
Just know East African.
You know, Beyonce never, she creates it all by herself. You know, it was never there before her.
If she ain't putting these coins on this podcast.
Did you watch the Netflix special?
I have not.
She has a hand in everything.
I have not.
Can she put a hand in the podcast with these coins?
She is.
She probably
through me.
Anywho. So next, moving on. Don't come after us, Beehive. Don't come after us. So my question is, like, when y'all go home to visit your country, well, go home to Nigeria, being from America, well, living in America, being from America, how does that feel when you go home?
Okay. So I went to Nigeria. I've been to Nigeria 3 times. The most recent time was last year, February last year. When we go, okay, let me not say we. When I go to Nigeria, I'm treated like an African American.
Really?
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
What does that mean?
But actually, in this essence, it's kind of bad because they treat you, because like growing up, I felt like African American people didn't treat me like I was one of them. And then sometimes you go to Nigeria and you're treated the exact same kind of way. So the one group of people, you're African, and the other group of people, you're American. So what am I?
Mariah Carey syndrome.
I guess so, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm Nigerian name and everything. And, of course, my relatives are all there, but you're not really treated like a Nigerian.
Mm-hmm. So how are Nigerian are treated?
So if I went to Nigeria, mm-hmm. will they know?
Mm-hmm.
They'll take one look at you.
Yes.
And they know you don't live.
When I went the first time.
I'm trying. they would know?
They would absolutely know.
Yeah.
The first time I went, they looked at my eyeballs. They said, your eyeball whites are very white. And therefore, you must be from America. They have lots of smog.
Huh? Yeah. Taria, they would know because you wouldn't be able to speak the language first off.
No, English is mostly spoken.
Yeah,
but as soon as I open my mouth, whatever I'm buying is going up in price.
And it doesn't mean that they don't like you. It just
going up
that,
in price.
Yes, because they haggle. And so if I talk, when I go to the market with my sister who is, you know, lives there, when I go to the market with her, if I want something, I go whisper to her and she goes and negotiates. Because if I negotiate, the first price will be 3 times
That's another question that I have for y'all. Uh-oh.
Wait, hold that thought. Okay. I want to hear Moby's response.
Oh, I'm sorry, Moby.
I mean, you know, I travel to Nigeria all the time, and I love it because it's home. And the reason why I love it is I'm reminded of the opportunity that we have here. It's not the same opportunity that a lot of people have in Nigeria. So when I go back and I see people struggling, and they even though they're struggling, they're still happy. I mean, I come back and I'm like, I'm happy with the opportunity that I'm provided here. And to Francis' point and Abby's point, when I go there, I have a cousin that does all my talking. Because once I open my mouth and, you know, I don't have an accent, everything goes up in price. And they feel like because you're, you know, from the U.S., you're American, that you can't survive out on the streets, right? Even though that's home. Even though, you know, I was born there, I lived there for, you know, 9 years, and I go back all the time.
Okay, so when y'all go back, how many of you have butlers and drivers and aunties?
I drive.
Well, that's why they treat you differently, because you got to drive.
No, that's standard. No, everybody.
Francis had like, a butler and a chef and a maid.
First of all, I mean, I couldn't drive Nigeria even if I wanted to. Like, it's very chaotic.
Okay.
But that's pretty standard.
Okay.
Like, that's not like, oh, a rich person. Well, you would have to have money, but it's not like in America to where if you got a butler, you're like Richie Rich or something.
Okay.
You can be a regular person to have that stuff. So.
Okay.
Yeah. When I go to Nigeria, I actually don't call it home because I was born and raised here. I go there. I can't stay longer than 10 days because I just want my mommy and I want my bed and I want constant electricity. Let's not talk about that. But
I don't know. We've heard.
Yes.
Yeah.
I forgot the question. So meanwhile,
Sam interjected the question. But I'm actually ignorant to the point to that part. So like every home or majority of the homes have butlers and things like that. Yeah.
My family did not. My family did not. So my family didn't. I didn't come from money in Nigeria. So when I go back, I stay with my grandma, and I have lots of cousins and everything. But I don't have a driver. My aunt or uncle, they would drive the car that we have for the family. But then I also have lots of friends who are in, you know, the island. So the posh neighborhood. And so I have driven a friend's car in that neighborhood because I felt a little safer there. And they have drivers and et cetera.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of my friends that are Nigerian, when they go back home, they have drivers and butlers and aunties. Yeah.
Also
aunties
know the cost of labor. Like, it's low. You can pay somebody pennies and...
Right. Change their life.
Francis, I'm starting to see why they treat you differently. You over in Nigeria making it rain with your driver, your butler.
Also, it just depends. Like, if you're from the city, you're from the village, the lifestyle is very different. Mm-hmm. But my family primarily is from Lagos. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty normal.
Okay. Yeah. What about you, Moby?
Well, I don't have a butler. So I don't. When you say butler, what do you mean as far as butler?
Do you have a house girl? Do you have a driver?
No, I don't have a driver.
Did you hear that?
She switched it all the way up.
I mean, she's
just
man.
Like us when, you know.
Well, certain people that have homes that are not there year-round maybe have someone that lives there.
Mm. Objection, I'm responsive.
No, I'm trying to explain. And, you know, all right, for example, my parents have a home in Nigeria, right? We don't live there year-round.
Okay.
But there's someone that lives there year-round.
Yes.
That we pay... That takes care of, you know, everything.
Like a groundskeeper.
When you're there, do you have to make your own bed up, or does someone do it for you?
No, I make it. I make it up.
Do you cook your own food, or is someone cooking your food for you?
Well, I have cousins and aunts that cook.
Aunties?
Aunties.
Okay.
That cook.
Yeah.
And they cook.
And then when you want to go into the city?
Right.
Well, do you?
Typically, I go to the east. I've flown into Lagos and Abuja. In Abuja, I take Uber.
Okay.
Right? Lagos, I don't drive in Lagos because it's just crazy.
Madness. Okay, so how do you get around?
Well, Uber, or I have cousins or family there that drive me.
Right.
Right, but in the east.
I feel like you have a driver and you just don't want to say it. Like, your cousin could be your driver. I mean, he could.
But I'm not paying them, right? I mean, they are driving me and we're doing stuff together.
Okay.
They just have a car and, you know, they're driving. Rather than, you know, taking public transportation, which is a no-no in Lagos.
So, but in conclusion,
yeah,
Francis has admitted to Francis. He's coming to America.
Francis is Mark Zuckerberg of Nigeria.
We're not sure what this is over here.
Okay. Moby is very modest about his.
I make my own bed. I make my own eggs.
Right.
And I just drive or I make it how I get
right.
there.
Right. You know what
I
mean? A driver fairy comes
right.
and picks
exactly.
me up.
Exactly.
So the female at the table is the one that's holding it down, basically. Right. She's the one surviving.
Get around. Well, listen, next time you go with Francis. Right. Get with some of his friends. You may not be single.
So I'm going to make it rain with Francis.
Okay, so I have a question though. So you talked about negotiating and bartering. Mm-hmm. A lot of that part of the culture is brought here.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Why is everything a negotiation?
That's what they grew up on.
I mean, literally, anytime I engage, like, a Nigerian individual, and I'm like, this is how much it costs. They're like, is there any deal you could work with me?
I mean, the worst we can hear is no. I mean, but I think it's actually one of the best parts of our culture is that we think outside of the box. It is what makes us, some people, fraudsters, but they always are, you know, angling for a different way and thinking outside of the box, trying to solve problems. I mean,
well, I don't think bartering or negotiating is fraudsters, because we all have we all have fraudsters, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if you ask me for my social security number, it's a different story. But I'm just trying to figure out, you know, why is that just kind of ingrained in your culture? Is that like you never take the first price?
Yeah. I think it's not just Africans. If I'm not mistaken, Hispanics do it. The only people who don't do it are Westerners. Because if you go to Mexico, you'll see it. You go to some parts of Asia, you see it. So
I really think it's because the rules are loose.
Really?
Yeah. If I'm driving down the road and I'm going too fast and the police officer stops me and I can be like, will you take 100? Or, you know, if I know that you need to sell that last loaf of bread and it's usually 100, but you'll probably take 50, why would I give you 100 if I can give you 50? So I think that's just how we think.
Okay.
So I think that y'all like more frugal with your money?
I am. Mm-hmm. But no, Nigerians are the same ones
y'all
that pop free. Bottles.
I know.
Right. Y'all are very free.
No, I don't think so. I think they are frugal. I just think that they know how to make the aesthetic. They know how to make it look like it's more.
I always say they're flat. So for me, I always can tell that a Nigerian man because I look at their shoes and it's always over the top. Like, where are you from? You know what I mean? It's always over. Let them go out.
Right.
They're not in regular people's shoes.
Right.
They're in the suede. They're probably some red bottoms. And you just going over to Davenport's.
Right.
You're not really going anywhere. You know what I mean? You just.
I can tell the difference between a Americanized Nigerian man and old school Nigerian man. Because back in my single days, right, the old school Nigerian man, he always going to hit you when he's in oil and gas. Mm. But he's never going to tell you what the job is.
Francis.
No, Francis can tell you what the job is.
Right? He say, I'm with that oil and gas.
And the new school Nigerian man, they don't like wearing socks. So they gonna wear those. They gonna wear the Tailor loafers. Shoes that stop at the ankle with the loafers. Just put on some socks. And then if they do put on the socks, it's gonna be those fancy socks at Dillard's, the happy socks. It's like $52 a pair. Francis got on some happy socks.
Don't
I know he did.
Okay, whatever.
Don't dress like that. Moby can't fix it.
I think with that, because you got to understand, we were, and again, we're not talking about all of Africa, but Nigeria was colonized by Britain. So title is everything. What you have is everything. Mm-hmm. So if you have something there, I'm the doctor, reverend, engineerist, whatever they want to say. Versus our new generation, like, I'm a lawyer, but I'm not going to be like, hey, I'm a lawyer, you know?
Right.
It just came up because that's what we're talking about. But if I were to meet you outside, I wouldn't say it. Versus my parents might tell you that I'm a lawyer.
Right.
But I wouldn't announce it to you unless it just came up.
Well, you know, Pimp C for the black culture said that we are descendants of kings and queens. That's why we like to wear flashy things. Yeah. Don't look down upon us.
All right, UGK, Pimp C.
Just say it. I had to represent the African-American culture. You know
hold author.
And I was just going to help you out that my family, too, leads off with I'm an attorney.
Yeah.
Right? And I could just be trying to get
a repairman can be at the house. Yeah. Like, yeah, you know he's a lawyer, right? Like,
or no, don't let you mess something up in my mother's house. You know my daughter is a lawyer.
Oh, no.
I
yes.
think what you're pride. Really trying to say today is that you, too, are Nigerian.
They just said I wasn't. They just said I was not. Remember, I can't go. They said that they would know immediately.
Right.
No, they know me, here, too. Though. All of that's us. True.
Like, you can still go.
Can
yeah.
I?
Yeah.
They'll well, what, like gonna, you. What are they going to do to me? No, they're not.
Whoa.
Really, Sam? No,
you'll be fine. So on anyways, another note,
will they like me?
Yeah,
let's stay.
They just they're just gonna be like, you're not from here.
Oh, they'll love you
because I get it, and I'm not.
So
here.
I need to buy I need to pay for my hotels before I get over there. Is that what you're saying?
Probably. Yeah.
Okay, because I'm gonna be like, I don't have that much. No.
Right. I have a question. Point. Yes. So would you guys do the 23andMe or Ancestry thing to figure out which country you're from?
Yeah. I have the kit, and I have not taken it yet.
Mm. No, I believe in that conspiracy theory.
Okay.
That's why I haven't taken it yet.
They're going to keep your DNA. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, I haven't done it yet.
I had a girl in law school convince myself and everybody else that I was Haitian. And so she actually went up to one of my good friends and was like, where's your Haitian friend today? And my friend said, we don't have a Haitian friend. And she said I was Haitian. So I kind of want to take the test just to see if that is true or not. Okay. But I'm worried about what
they're
going to
keep
on
doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then plus I asked my husband if we could do it together. And he was like, why? Africa. You know you from Africa somewhere. Probably West Africa. That's where all the slaves came from. So
you know they picked some up along the way. Y'all know that, right?
I mean... Just, does it matter though?
I mean, they did. They got. They picked a few.
I mean,
up.
What am I gonna do? Oh, from West Africa. Go to West Africa. What's up, y'all? It's like,
but they, you could.
Yeah, but they're gonna be like, your eyeballs are too white,
and you need to pay $20.
Right. All right. If you want this boat
but
ride,
truth be told, because like there's some Nigerian people. I won't say her name, but there is a Nigerian person who I knew. Nigerian, but when she took it, it came up as six different things. Because we were nomadic. Just because you're in a place doesn't mean that you were always there. So you can have blood of many different people, even if you're still quote unquote African.
See, the thing with me, though, is that, like, I know that my people came from slavery. And so we know them records was jacked. Mm-hmm. So if I can't see the records, like, I would want to see if I'm a descendant of a slave who was, like, out there handling stuff. You know, like, I want to know that story. I don't care about what country I'm from. I want to know the slave story. Like,
yeah,
where
I
descended
from.
Because
technically, I mean, no offense, but y'all got rid of us. You know, for some reason, my family was, y'all were saying, you know what? They're going to cause so much ruckus over here. You go ahead and get on the boat.
Well, I just feel like a 400-year gap. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, you're from Africa, and then what happened? Mm-hmm. And now we're here. Mm-hmm. I want to know the gap.
That's true.
Well, on that note, great conversation, great dialogue.
You're doing good today, Brandon. Oh, I'm proud.
Mm-hmm. I know.
She lost her train of thought twice.
I did, though. Sorry. Sorry, guys. However, Sam, so basically this part of this segment, we're going to lay to rest. So we're going to lay to rest things that are that bothers you, a topic that we've been discussing, something that you just want to get rid of, get it off your chest in 2019. What you want to lay to rest? We're going to start with Sam.
No, don't start with me. Don't start
just
with me.
To give an example.
I just want to go last.
For a guess. I'm going to lay to rest that she's difficult.
Okay.
That's my lay to rest. Moby, you want to lay something to rest?
Sure. Africa.
I know.
Yes. Say
with your chest.
Go ahead.
Two things, but I'll just talk about one. Africa is a continent, mm-hmm. not a country.
No, it's a country. No, I'm just playing.
Yeah. Right.
And I get upset. Don't get upset. Like, I'm mellow, but when I hear people, you know, keep saying that Africa is a country, I'm like, no, it's a continent, not a country.
You said two. Oh, I felt it.
And I'll leave it at that.
Give your other one. So
you said you had two.
Oh yeah. So the other one we were talking about, like the stereotypes. Some Nigerians or people say all Nigerians are fraudsters, and 419, right? Yeah. But people don't talk about if I get an email that says that I have a prince that just died, right, and left me $50,000. That story's too good to be true. I'm not gonna voluntarily give money. For someone I never met. No one talks about the people that actually, they're not forced. They give the information. They give money or whatever it is. But then you blame Nigerians as being 419. But when no one talks about the people
you're talking about the victims.
The people with no common sense.
Don't victim shame.
But common sense ain't common, though. Mm-hmm.
Don't be like that.
And also, these days, those emails are originated by people in Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Not Nigeria. In Russia as well.
So. Yeah.
There we go.
And so it was there never just Nigerians back then.
Fraudsters.
Taria.
Come in all shapes, sizes, and colors.
You have something, or you want to defer to your counsel?
I'm going to defer to Francis, because I feel like he at least has three. He wants a later ass.
Right, let's later ass.
The last one. So okay. Whatever your last one is, I'll talk about that one.
All right, my only thing is that, like, I think this whole conversation just goes back, you can't believe stereotypes. Right. And I think Africans, we always look at the stereotypes that plague us, and we don't really look at the stereotypes that plague African Americans. Because one thing I notice is that we don't really give credit to what African American people have gone through.
Yeah.
And how, if it weren't for Black people already being here, we couldn't be here so easily.
Right.
Because there's already Black people here, versus when the first slaves were brought, it was a lot of things that had to occur. And I think whatever misconception that African Americans have has been taught to them by the mainstream media. So you can't blame, you know what I mean? So that's basically it.
Taught to us?
Or indoctrinated, maybe, like, for you not to like Africa, basically. I think so. And then for us not to like African Americans.
Yeah.
I think that was strategic in that happening.
Okay. Ooh.
Russia did it. Sorry.
Abby?
I struggled with this one, but I'll say probably it's the employment lawyer in me, but there's like 9 billion people on this earth. And so each person is different. And so I think that individuality should be appreciated and respected. And so that means that we should respect Black culture, we should respect Nigerian culture, we should respect that Africa is a continent and has so many different groupings of people with their own culture, so we can't loop them together. But at the same time, here in the United States, we are not a majority. So we gotta stop fighting each other. We have to unify. What country one of us came from doesn't matter. We're here, and we need to unify so that we have a block, so that we can make changes for the benefit of our community, all Black people, wherever they came from. So I guess that's what I'd like to lay to rest.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm ready.
So you're gonna piggyback on Abby, ride her coattails. Go ahead.
I'm about to lose it.
We have a lot of that going on today.
We do.
Losing our trains of thought.
Oh, got it. Ha, there it is. So don't let your stereotypes lead the way. So if you have a stereotype in your head about African culture or the African American culture, instead of just letting that stereotype be what you think, go find you an African friend or find you an African American friend, and y'all discuss like we did here today.
Yeah.
So that you can knock down those stereotypes and those walls.
And great.
Boom, there it was.
I have two of them, actually.
Of course you do.
The first one
I'm
that
cutting
I would
you
like
off
to,
on the second one. Go ahead.
The first one I would like to lay to rest is Abby talking about Beyonce's Afrobeats album,
which is great.
I think that we should all come together and not distinguish between whether it was West Africa or East African beats, and just appreciate that it was Afrobeats. So that was my first one. And then my second one is that I think I want to lay to rest, I guess similar to what everyone talks about, but understanding that Africans or Nigerians and Black Americans, that we are one and the same in this country, and we have so much of a bigger hurdle to overcome. You know, you don't see in the media where it says, Nigerian man shot, or, you know, African American man shot. It's always like Black Lives Matter. You know, it's not like African American Lives Matter. And so I think that if we understand that, yes, we have different cultures, right? Like, we have different cultural norms, but at the end of the day, we can all come together and learn from each other. I mean, Nigerian culture is really big on family and marriage. In Black culture, we are innovative people. We had to be because of slavery. We are an innovative culture, and I think that we could learn from each other instead of constantly drawing that distinction.
I definitely think we should get back to family and being family oriented and family roots, and that's something that is also missing in the Black community. So we definitely need to get back to that. Well, we are coming to a close.
You don't have a later rest?
No, I don't have a later rest. Everybody's the same. Let's get rid of stereotypes. Let's come together. Let's unify so we can come together as one and to resolve these issues. So I'm here for that with Abby. So it's time for us to, you know, come together and become a majority.
And listen to the Afro beats. Brown skin girl.
Okay, so don't come sue us if you hear that song.
Your friend Beyonce.
Right. I ain't got that money. So, closing thoughts.
I love you, Beyonce.
Thank you all for our guests for being on the show. Thank you for putting us in your schedule. To let everybody know like where we can follow you on Instagram, Facebook, or whatever. Starting with Moby. I'm shouting you out again.
Where can they follow you, Moby?
Well, unfortunately, I'm not on Instagram. I'm not on Twitter, but I'm on LinkedIn. Chmoby. I don't know what the just look for Chmoby Nwankwo, or I'm on Facebook. Chmoby Nwankwo.
All right, Mr. Francis, the actor slash engineer lawyer. I'm sorry, oil and gas lawyer.
Coming to a theater near you.
He was in a movie. He was. Yeah. You were in that Regina King.
Yeah, I was in a couple HBO shows. I was in a few commercials, and that's something I still like to do. And there's nothing wrong with doing both.
No one's judging you. We're African American. It's cool.
Exactly. Instagram at LEKE4King is my Instagram handle.
And Abby?
Yes, follow me at Abby the Problem Solver. I'm on Instagram and kind of on Facebook.
So.
You solved this problem, girl.
Samantha, are we following you today?
I told you. Don't follow me. Follow Jesus.
What we going to do with her? We just gonna pray.
Keep coming here with her
just every single time. We gonna keep coming.
Brown skin girl.
Beyonce, don't come sue us. We do not own the rights to that music. You can follow me, you know, Brandy Lowry. You can follow me at Brand_Janae on Instagram or on Facebook at Brandy Lowry.
And last but definitely not least, you can follow Taria Hutchinson at Simply Being T on Instagram. I don't have my Twitter account set up yet, but don't you worry. You can follow me on Facebook as well. Y'all have a great rest of your evening. Bye, guys.
Dun, dun, dun. Mm-mm-mm.